Words, you're all I want if we can get to that point, amen? So often we're not. Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3, Daniel chapter 3 and verse 28. If you're physically able, stand with me, honor to hear this word. One verse today we'll focus on, the end kind of story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel 3, 28. As you found your place, do ask you to be in prayer about revival. Been praying for some time, really struggling, had several preachers on my heart to come do revival, and God kind of opened my eyes that just to have each one of them come, so each night will be different, be last with this month, so be in prayer for those men, for those nights, and what God has planned. Daniel 3:28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Dear God, I'm so thankful for the testimony, the witness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for Daniel, Lord, for men and women in the Bible that you give us to show us, Lord, what it means to really yield, what a yielded life looks like, what happens and what doesn't happen. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, and as we worship in song just a moment ago, Lord, to realize that you truly are all we want and need. And Lord, to realize that you call us to yield to you because, Lord, you know the dangers that lie ahead when we refuse not to. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for a church who loves you, who loves your word, and Lord, who desires, Lord, to be yielded to you this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastors, pals, it's a great opportunity. Y'all can't imagine. Y'all can't see everything that's going on down here. And some mornings, there's so much going on down here, and them, they distract me, and I'm thankful for it. Amen? They really do. It's amazing, amazing. Thank you for letting them come and bring their stuff too. If I had to title this message, and I'm not sure I'm that good at titling message, I'd have to say that it's yielding. We see this word yield here in verse 20. Yielding is much more than thoughts and words. Amen? Yielding, period, but yielding in the biblical sense is truly more than just thinking it, feeling it, saying it. And what jumped out of this verse, I want you to look at it with me very close, verse 28, because I love this. I love the book of Daniel. I love the testimony of his life. I love what God did. I love Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And at times we'll look at this passage and some of you tell me how much you love the story and what it means and means into your life. But I don't think I'd ever quite noticed a simple phrase, a simple statement in the Word of God. We know the Word of God is so powerful. Every word. But look in verse 28 and there's this statement. And it simply says toward the end of verse 28, in describing them, and as Nebuchadnezzar describes them, he said, here's what they did. He said, and yielded their bodies. And yielded their bodies. We've kind of been looking at this idea of surrender. What's it mean in the Bible? What's it mean in our lives? This idea of yielding is the real word to him. And kind of coming off of Easter and thinking about how Jesus really surrendered all. Amen? How he yielded and what he did. But we come to a very specific point here in the life of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. They've been delivered from the fiery furnace. This is really the end of the story. It's a proclamation of the king recognizing what's happened and giving the honor to God and really then making commandment that the people now need to worship this God that they've seen move so mightily. But unfortunately, it was just because of the thing that God had done, not for God himself. Amen? And it says, though, it's pointed out that it just jumps off the face of the Bible that they yielded their bodies. And I wanted to look this morning specifically about what does that mean in relation? What is the difference in, you know, yielding our lives, our hearts, our minds, and going to the step of really yielding our bodies? And it may be more of an introduction, because there's so much when we've been at the beginning of Daniel and the story of these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One thing you need to understand, these boys were taken at a young age as King Nebuchadnezzar had decided he wanted the children, he wanted to have them. And I really felt like at one point this week that this message was going to begin there about just the simple fact that we need to realize that Satan in the world wants our children. Amen? He wants our children per se, but he also wants the children of God, which is us, and he wants that, and we may go back to that, Lord willing. But I want us to look at three simple things this morning and understand and maybe connect what it really, we see in their lives, what it means when God talks about yielding our bodies to him. And the first thing we're going to look at is the danger of not yielding to God, but thinking that you have. Amen? It's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible for the vast number of people that are going to end up in hell. But I've heard it described, one of the worst things about ending up in hell, really worse than ending up there, is ending up there not thinking you were going. So the danger of not yielding to God, but thinking that you really are, amen? And that kind of takes us to the body part. The second thing we'll try to look at this morning is that the most common yielding that we do is to me and others, amen? We like to yield to me, amen? That's our practice. And last of all, simply that building biblical yielding into our lives requires us saying no. And we know that is a word that our world doesn't like. And many of you may be like me, Brooke and I came here, we were talking about just over the weekend, Brooke, about just the fact of, you know, of being a salesman. Maybe some of you are salesmen. Me and Brooke were just talking about how God didn't create us, make us that way. I'm impressed with salesmen. You may be a salesman, but there's one thing that if you work in sales or somebody you know or family, when you work, a salesman cannot have a problem with the word no. Amen? And you see people gifted in sales, it bothers them none at all that somebody tells them no. It bothers me a lot, amen, that somebody says no. It just makes me feel all kind of different ways. So thank God, and me and Brooke were sharing that about that. I know, but really, yielding, biblical yielding requires no. In fleshly wise, we often don't like that word no, but we live in a world that I really believe is just trying to take it out, Gloria. You know, let's just take the word no. There's how many no's are there anymore? I mean, everything is okay, and, you know, can't say no to anything, and we get in trouble. Amen? But let's begin to look back, though, first of all, this danger of not yielding to God, but thinking that we are. You know, if our and the Bible talks a lot about, you know, and makes statements about all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind loving God and giving it all to him. So if all of our heart and soul and mind are truly yielded to God, surrendered to him, then I'm going to promise you something. Then your bodies will be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're going to be yielded to God. Amen? I mean, it has to begin in our minds. It has to begin in our hearts and souls. If, you know, you come to church all you want to, and you can try to act right and look right, and you can pretend you've yielded your life and your body to be in danger like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. But really, if our heart, mind, and souls are not going to be connected. What we often do is, and I'll give you some phrases today that may sound familiar. I hope they do, because they're familiar to me. We say that we know the Lord. Amen? You hear that often. We may say, I know the Lord. I know the Lord. I believe in the Lord. I love the Lord. I love him. I love the Lord. He is my Lord. And we need to understand, whenever you're throwing out that Lord word and you're using it as what Lord means in the Bible, we need to be reminded that whenever you say the word Lord, and whenever you use the word Lord, that literally means the one who is supreme in authority. That's what the word means. He's supreme in authority. He has more authority than you do, anybody. He literally, children and youth, young people, he is supreme in authority over mom and dad. Amen? And pray that you've got a godly mom and dad that leads you and knows he's supreme in authority. But not everybody has a godly mom and dad. Amen? If you're not blessed in that, then it means that your Lord will have supreme authority over your life, even above mom and dad. Amen? And that's the way God designed it, because God knew that he is the only one that can be in authority. So we say that he is Lord. We say that we love the Lord. We say that he's our Lord. But here's the question. biblically speaking, that's fine that you can say all that. But when you find that your life and your body is not being yielded and put into danger and put out there for God, could it be that we need to understand the important thing is not what you think you know or what you say you know? Do you realize that the most important thing biblically is, does God know you? Amen? Does God know you? That's, you know, all of our friends and family, those we're concerned about, you know, and they'll say, I know the Lord. I believe in the Lord. But often why we're worried and concerned is that we have noticed, and we began on just their attitude, their thinking, the decisions they're making, choices, Larry, their conversation out of their mouth doesn't seem to be yielded. It doesn't seem to be what we know as a biblical definition of being yielded and surrendered. And then their lives, their bodies, they're not yielded to God. So the question becomes, does God know someone? So turn with me, hold your place here in Daniel, but go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at two places in Matthew. We need to establish this morning in this, understand there's a great danger when we don't yield to God, and that danger is found in that many people think that they are. They think they're on the way to heaven. They think they're yielded, but they really don't understand even the definition of it. So let's look at the warning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. The words of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. It's not just a preacher talking this morning while I was saying earlier, amen? Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And doing the will of the Father has a yielded mind, a yielded mouth, a yielded life, a yielded body. You're gonna put yourself out there. And this morning we're going to look at just some details of what's the difference in saying and talking the right Lord things and actually doing them and surrendering their body that could you take you to the point of being in a fire just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 22 says, many will say to me, now notice that, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? I mean, they've done a lot of stuff for God, Jesus says. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Y'all, that's a warning there. Because oftentimes we'll look around and we're saying, man, Jesus is talking to the crowd. It sounds like he's talking to a church crowd, amen? He's talking to a bunch of crowd that wants to put on the appearance that they know the Lord and that they're yielding and they're really giving it all to him. And he is saying that all the wonderful works in the world do not mean you're yielded to me. Oftentimes people are yielded to a church. They're yielded to a cause. They're yielded to, people get so caught up in these causes and things they're passionate about, and that's wonderful, but the beginning is we need to make sure we're yielded to the Lord, amen? That everything we're doing is back to that. Verse 24, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth those sayings of mine and doeth them not. See, there comes in the doing. It's just about, you know, James talks it clearly. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. And to be a doer of the word, what's going to require? You've got to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Put your body out there. You've got to get involved. You've got to be out there in the midst of what's going on in this world. I was reminded just this week in I read a quote about a pastor, and you know, I just can't stand this type of things. And this pastor had taken this view on, you know, the new North Carolina law, you know, that very important law, you know, men go to men's room, women go to women's room, and the law establishes you can tell what you are by your birth certificate, okay, if you needed that. But it was a pastor that, and this sounds so spiritual on the surface, if you don't know your Bibles, if you're not yielded. This pastor said, well, you know, I just really can't agree with the side of the transgender folks, what they're thinking. They're just not thinking very clearly. I can't side with them. But then he jumps over and says, but I can't side with what the state of North Carolina did so quickly. They did something so, how slow you want to do it? How quick should we be to stand up and say, that's wrong? according to God's word. So, see, that's the problem. People want to sound spiritual, want to say wonderful, not only do wonderful works, but wonderful words, and we listen to them, and then we begin, instead of being in our Bibles and being on our knees and being in prayer and being wanting to know the truth. I said Wednesday night, I'm so thankful that when I hear crazy things all day long and see crazy things, you start looking around, what? And we say, what's our world coming to? That I can go back to my Bible all the time, and it just clearly describes and helps me understand, gets me background. Grounded in where I need to be, amen? But we need to understand, y'all, that there's so much going on that we need to understand what yielding really means. Let's read on what Jesus says. He says in verse 24 there of Matthew chapter 7, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them, I will liken to him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, that it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. For everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I like to catch the headlines sometimes after I've spent some time with the Lord in the morning. I do that on a lot of mornings so I don't get disconnected with the world, amen? Want to be yielded to God, but want to be protected for what's going on. I caught the headlines this morning where some of the football players, I think, for the New Orleans Saints was murdered, I guess, last night. Wreck happens, words exchange, gun comes out, shot, dead. Football star, retired, Super Bowl winner, all those worldly things. And all this is swirling around us, and that's what Jesus is trying to describe. He's saying there's a danger. There's a danger in thinking that you're yielded, that you're okay. I know the Lord. I believe in the Lord. I go to church. I want to do what's right or wrong. But really understanding, have you put your whole life out there? Are you on the sinking sand? Go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, we get just another indication. Remember what we're looking at here, the question that we need to ask ourselves. And the question we're praying for our loved ones, those we'll witness to this very week, is are you truly yielded? Is your whole life, or your body into the talk of what your mind is thinking? In Matthew 25 and verse 41, the Bible says that, and Jesus once again is saying here in 41, he says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they say also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, for a stranger, or naked, or sick, and in prison, and it did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. See what Jesus is talking about? It's a yielded life. He says, if your life is really yielded, it's going to manifest itself is that you're going to be reaching out. You're going to be, and when you reach out, and now listen, we want to talk about our world's going crazy, and it's dangerous to share Jesus and stand for him. I have yet to caught on Fox News or CNN. I've not seen it posted. I've not seen, and sometimes y'all get the early news going out on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter before even the news media's got it. I have yet to see lately anybody thrown into a burning, fiery furnace, amen, for standing up for God. So you think it should be easier, but I think what has happened, and I'm so thankful that Scott shared it. I wish I had made a place to share it, but in Sunday school this morning, my teacher, Scott, had played with us. He said, I want to play you a recording from 1965. 1965. That's been a ways back, amen. I mean, I was two. Figured it up. I was two. Paul Harvey, radio personality, I just love him. But so Scott played us basically, in the title of the thing is what I would do if I was the devil, what I would do. And he recounts over and over. I'm sure you can find it online if you want to Google it. But Paul Harvey and what I do with this devil. And so he described all these things that if he was the devil, he would do to get into our schools and in our homes and into our churches and into our world. And he described all these things. And it's just like a prophecy of things that are happening now all the time in our world in 1965. And you know, hey, you can go much further back than 1965, and you can read in your Bibles, we did Wednesday night in the book of Zephaniah, the prophet Zephaniah, and I'll try to share a verse in this message, where God just describes clearly way back in time when the Bible was being fulfilled and coming out and being documented, that it describes what's going on now. Amen. You need to get your news from here so you can understand the news that you're seeing in the world. You need to get your news from the Bible so you can understand, are you really yielding? That's the question you'd ask someone. Hey, mom and daddy can't answer it. Grandma and grandpa, your husband and wife, your children, nobody can answer this question. Because what Jesus is describing is there's people that will stand before him and say, did we not call it Lord, Lord? Did we not do wonderful things? Did we not go to church? Did we not try our best to do everything that we could? And you'll say, depart from me. Y'all, that's danger. And that's a warning. So this morning, where you define yourself, and I'm going to try to help as we finish up this message and understand what does it look like and how you can know. But second of all, here's the thing. The most common yielding, all we really know about yielding, what's always on our minds about yielding is yielding to ourselves, yielding to me. I find my biggest problem in yielding to me and then yielding to others. Now, some of you may be super spiritual. You may be kind of a martyrdom type life. And you say, well, preacher, I don't have that problem. My problem is I yield to others all the time, never get to yield to myself. But I'm going to help you out with something. You done yielded to me to get to that point. Amen. Yielded to what you want to do. And God, things are more simple than we make it. So here's the most common yielding is to me. And that's why we have such a trouble in understanding what true yielding is to God. Let me see if this might be how you thought before. I know I have. So we think about knowing what yielding is. We know what the danger is. We want to yield our body. We want to be Shadrach and Meshach. Everybody this morning, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to what the king said, to bow to the false gods. The punishment was coming. And listen, they were chosen people. The king loved these boys. But you don't do what I say, you're going. They threw him in the fire. They look inside. They say, who is that in there? There was three, now there's four. Looks like the Son of God. It was Jesus in there with them. They come out of the burning fire. Their clothes aren't burned. They don't even smell like smoke. I mean, God's just delivered them out of everything. And all of a sudden, the question comes to us today, don't you want to live a life like that? Wouldn't that be really neat, Daniel? You get in a situation and you come home and you start telling Christian, man, you don't believe what happened to work today. I mean, it was all, I mean, I felt somebody was taking the Lord's name in vain. And man, I got in there and it got so rough me standing for God that it was like a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't have many Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego anymore, y'all. We don't have them. People are scared to death to stand, scared to death to yield to God. It's not about standing up and fighting physically for God. What it is about is yielding to him so much that you find situations. I'll confess to Hilton and Brooke, I don't know why I did this. Might not have been the most wise thing to do. We went to the dump yesterday. We've been cleaning out, helping my mom-in-law clean out some since. Continue to pray for her and my nephew Wesley and the death of Sandra's dad. And just you know, and so there's a lot of things that need to be done, you know. And so we carried a pickup load of trash to the dump. Amen. Saturday morning ritual. Some of you may have done the same thing. And we get there, and it's very crowded and everything, and it was about closing time, and I don't like to go into restaurants near closing time. I don't like to go in stores near closing time. I'm thinking, them people done worked hard, and they need to go home. And it's crowded, and I'm thinking, man, I'm waiting on the highway trying to get in, and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to make anybody mad. I don't want no road rage, you know. Man, nice spot, but hey, come on ahead. And we took our recyclables down here, you know, as good Christians do. And we need to get back in line. Somebody let us in line. We go up to the guy, and the guy says, looks like about $5 to me, you know. And we pay, and we go, and we get ready to line up. And nice guy at the dump, he says, hey, you feeling strong? And I'm thinking, feeling tired, actually. But he still having to get up where if you ever been to the dump, you go and you either back in or go to the side. He said, just go down to the green dumpster if you can get that stuff out of there and you can get out of the crowd. Man, thank you. We backed up and Brooke and Hilton had rode with me because they wanted to help Dad not get away from the work going to the house, I know. So we got there
And as we get, I get out of the truck, and there's one of the biggest guys I've ever seen, twice as big as Daniel here. Daniel's pretty big. I mean, Hilton, he was built, wasn't he? I mean, that guy, I mean, he was huge, weightlifting. I mean, big. I got out of the truck, and I went straight to him. I said, something else in my mind, really. And I said, do you know Jesus? And he looked at me like, you know, I was the craziest person in the world. And he said, well, yeah, I do. And, you know, you look for openings, and what I did to kind of smooth over what, you know, that sudden interaction was this. I said, you know, I said, well, when we get to heaven, I said, I'm going to ask Jesus, why in the world he made you so big and me so little? Got a smile then, but, well, see, well, you know, we're scared to do that. Now, I'm aware, and I told my children, that would have been a whole different situation if he hated Jesus and Christians. That could have gone ugly in a hurry, amen? Now, Brooke and Davey love me, but they about my size. They might have gotten a couple licks. We all going in the dumpster, amen? But you know what this, what this man told me was, he said, all glory to God. Now, so I'm talking about his body and how, all the glory to God. But we're scared. And I use that crazy example because what it is every time, and I've told y'all before, Angie, I love to tell those stories. But I don't got to get up here and recount with you how many times I didn't share Jesus last week. Hey, but y'all right? Does anybody want to do that? Y'all do the same to me. You come give me a testimony. Hey, preacher, I believe what happened. And we all know, and there's 50 other things that we didn't do that we're supposed to. Y'all right? But we're scared because what we don't know. Listen, here's what I wrote in my notes. Instead of being yielded to God, instead of really wanting to yield our body and put out there, we say, but right now, God, right now I need to use my mind and my eyes and my ears and my voice and my body to do the things I need to and want to. And also what my list of others needs me to and wants me to do. But Lord, I really do love you. I love you, Lord. You know I love you. But right now, I'm just going to be, I'm telling you, I'm going to have to, you know what's going on with my wife or my husband. You know this time with my children. You know what's going on at work right now. You even know what's going on. So I'm going to have to yield my body, my time. Now, God, I love you in my mind. And God, I'm going to be thinking about you. And let me about interject with that way. Y'all, you notice one thing is say we're praying for somebody. You notice what people say in the world now? Our thoughts are with you. Our thoughts are with you. What? What good is a thought? Amen. I'll take a step further. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. That's wonderful. And we pray. You know, I love praying. But you know what Jesus Christ did? When he was in the garden praying for God's will, after he got through praying, he got up and he was arrested and he was hung on a cross. What did he do? He yielded his body, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what we are so guilty in the church, we've got to pray. We must pray first. I believe in the power of prayer. We don't pray enough, but we need to be like Jesus. And if you're yielded, you'll do more than pray. You'll get up off your knees. You'll get out of the prayer closet. You'll get out of the prayer on Wednesday night, and you'll take your body and yield it up and go out there. Amen. That's what we need. Why are we not yielding? Why we're not yielding is either that we're in danger of not even know what it means, or we just the common yielding. It says in that statement back in Daniel, if you look back in Daniel in that chapter 3 and 28, it says the statement, and yielded their bodies. They said, listen, we're not only going to say we love the Lord and say we're not, we're going to go and we'll take our body and burn us. We'll trust God to get us out of this. Just take my body. And folks, that's what Jesus, and it's just like in this day, God needs Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to stand up and say, I'm going to give my body, I'm going to put it out there so that I can be used of God. But instead of yielding our bodies to God, we yield our bodies to the bed. There's some people this morning, and I'll get the explanations. What's amazing? Thank y'all for coming today. It's one of them weeks, and what you get into the pastor's family is everybody tells you where they're going. And sometimes by Sunday or Saturday night, me and Sandra decided they ain't nobody going to be there. Because everybody doesn't say, well, we got this over here and that. And I know that's coming, but you see what I'm saying? It builds up over time. Very seldom do any of you say, hey, I'm excited about it. I'm going to see you Sunday, preacher. Or call me up on the phone and say, just want to let you know, preacher, that I'm going to be there. I'm excited about it. 10,000 reasons. So thank y'all for coming today. But we, you know, some people are still in bed. And I'll hear later this week why they yielded to the bed. And I understand about yielding to the bed. Y'all right? Sometimes, some Sunday mornings, I'd like to yield to me and yield to the bed instead of yielding to God and getting this body up and coming to church. Amen? 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 We all have that. You know, tomorrow morning, some of you may or at least think about yielding to that bed. So that's our habit. We yield to the bed, to the couch, the recliner. I heard old boy say one time, I loved it. He probably did more projects after work than anybody I know of. And he said, my daddy told me that a recliner has ruined many a man. And he was just emphatic about it. But we yield to that. We yield to food and fun. We yield to our phones, amen, our iPads and our computers. We yield to working more for money than for the master. We yield to relationships and families. We just yield, amen. We yield our bodies up. And what God wants us to do is say, listen, do you really want to be yielded with me? I don't have time to go there, but read in Romans 7, 18 through 25. We might look at it tonight where Paul was struggling with the flesh. But I've got 2 or 3 minutes left. The last thing I want to talk about was that biblical yield, to really yield your body like they did, you got to say no. You have to say no to yourself and others. In Romans 6, we looked last Sunday, where it said in verse 13, don't be yielding to sin, yield yourselves unto God. We learned that yielding meant to present yourself, come along beside him, to be there for him, to yield our bodies. I'm telling you folks, what it makes is you got to yield your hands and your body, and it's just as simple. You got to take, hey, yield, you got to say no to all that stuff your hands need to do. All that needs to be in the kitchen, in the house, in the workshop for work, in the garden. You got to yield these hands. You got to yield your body. Listen, if you don't, you say you love the Lord and want to be in his will and all this stuff, but if you don't yield your hands and you're to pick up this Bible and have it in your hands more and more and say no to other things, you're going to be in desperate trouble. And many people you may know Jesus and you may be okay, but remember there's a danger of people looking at your lives, and if your life is no more yielded than their life, even though no matter what you've done with Jesus Christ, who wants to be guilty of not showing that you're yielded more? Like I said with Jesus, folks, we need to yield up our knees, and if you can't bow down, crawl across the bed, pray in your chair. But when we get up, the yielding Jesus showed us is that you go and do something and stand for him. We have to yield our time. In 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 8, we read last Sunday, it said, now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord. See, surrendering, here's, when you yield your body, what you've said is you're saying no to yourself. You've got to say no to some kind. And by the way, we learned from Romans that you're either yielded to what he wants you to do, or you're yielded to sin. There's no in-between. Think of through this week. And just in closing for a moment, think of how many times you yielded your body. Whether you got a bite, simple as that. I'm telling you, you can't believe the pot. You surrendered your hands. And I'm looking at some of you, what you do in your jobs. David, I don't know if you got to have your hands in the truck. Amen, brother. It's real important, and we want you to have your hands. Both hands preferably. I've seen you drive before. Both hands be nice. But if David spends, he spends countless hours in that truck, or countless hours on the phone arranging so the trucks can roll, if David doesn't take time and yield his hands to the Bible, it's trouble, isn't it? They yielded their bodies. If you won't yield your hand to the Bible, if you won't bend your knee, yield your body. I've told y'all time and time again, that's hard, y'all. Aaron, my first thought of the day, when I wake up in the morning, I want to get better. I'm not leaning toward the Lord. I'm leaning to everything I want to yield and others want me to yield to. And after I yield a while to others, then what I do is I say, well, blessed be, I'm going to go and do something I want to do. Y'all, anybody with me?
If we don't yield, if we don't yield our bodies. Now, I don't suggest you go look tomorrow and find the biggest, meanest, toughest looking person you can to run up and ask them if they know Jesus, okay? I'm not suggesting that necessarily. But maybe, just maybe, God gives one of us a chance to really get in the fiery furnace. And only if we're yielded, only if we're ready to yield our bodies will we be ready. I want to be ready, don't y'all? I want to be ready because, you know, I love that story. God delivered them. God delivered them. God did a mighty work. And folks, that's what the world needs to see. They need to see God still is doing a mighty work in people that are yielded to him every day. Every day. That doesn't make the news. Would you bow with me? Or just please, don't think about who's here, who's not here. There's some of you this morning, you need to yield your body. Say no to standing behind that pew in a moment. And you need to yield and surrender your heart, your soul, which will in turn yield your body to Jesus Christ. Because in a crowd this large, some of you are in danger that you think you're yielded. You think, I love the Lord, I know the Lord. But you've seen scriptural, not from my message, but in scripture, Jesus says, he knows if you've been yielded or not. And y'all, I can't bear the thought of you dying and him saying, depart from me, because he never knew you. How about it, Christian? Are you just so caught up in yielding to yourself and to others that you really don't yield your body to him? Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How often have you said no to God this week? So busy you said no to God. When you realize that it's time to say no to some things, to yourself, and to some others, and yield up your body to him. Maybe he's really made it clear to you that he wants you to become part of this church family, to come and serve. Then would you yield to whatever is holding you back and just be obedient to him this morning? Whatever the need is, during this time of invitation, would you just be obedient to him? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall, and take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Appears and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone. At the river I'll stand, guide my feet, hold. take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home.
Hey, would you close us in prayer?